You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
If you're new here, my name is Jesse Newman. I am the lead pastor here, and I say it a lot. I said it last week. I'll say it today. I freaking love this church. Come on, someone turn to your neighbor and say, he freaking loves you. I freaking love this church. We're in the middle of a sermon series called Breaking Bad Habits, but we're hitting pause today. Sometimes our sermon series go for 4 weeks, and if I can stay focused enough, or I can get through all four without having to have an off-topic week, which is great. Sometimes God will speak to us about something that's relevant for that day, so we'll go off topic in the middle of a sermon series. And sometimes we do long sermon series that are like, 8 to 15 weeks long, and so we have to go off topic to talk about certain things along the way, or just other things that God might be talking to the church about at that time as well, and today's one of those days. So today we're off topic, and so y'all know that when I go off topic, it can go anywhere. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. When I'm in a sermon series, if I haven't prepared very well, I can just basically copy the week before or preach next week's message, right? When we're off topic, I've really got to focus. And so, God willing, that's what we've done today. Sound good? Awesome. Let's go off topic then. So tomorrow, I and my family and I, we are going camping, which is exciting. And it's what you call camping. Now, I'm from Australia, and in Australia, the only thing that gets to have the title camping is if you have a tent, if you're a wimp, a tent, right? Or just a sleeping bag outside under the stars, right? Now, in Australia, that's camping. Okay, in Australia, we talk about a hoochie, and a hoochie is this, it's this screen that keeps the dew off you, okay? And that is basically wimp camping in Australia. So over here, what I'm doing is we're towing a trailer behind our Suburban, and y'all call it camping. The trailer has two bathrooms in it. Yeah. A room for Judah, Eli, and Charlie to sleep in and shut the door. It has a freaking fridge, a sink, and an oven, right? And then a bed up the front and two in the middle. That ain't camping. That's called towing a house behind you and what we've been calling glamping, all right? Glamorized camping, right? That's what that's called. So I'm going to be in a car that has a sunroof and leather seats and dragging that thing out into the boondock somewhere. And y'all call it camping. Someone say, that ain't camping. But when in Rome, and so I'm in America, so we'll do what Americans do, and I'm going to camp like y'all do. So we're going camping up to Bear Country, real scary in a RV. So we're going to Bear Country, North Wisconsin, right? There's grizzly bears, which is pretty neat. And a couple of weeks ago, I told my kids a story about the bear, the kid that woke up to a bear chewing on his head. I thought it was a great story to tell them. They did not. And so we talked about camping, and I told them about the bears, but don't worry, we're safe, right? Now, all they heard was grizzly bears and worry. So they put those two things into their minds and worried about grizzly bears forever. Now, this is that moment where, as a parent, you know when you're like, you realize you were just telling your kids something that made sense, and then all of a sudden you scared the crap out of your kids. You ever done that? That's that moment where you lie, right? You know, like, you say something, and as it's coming out of your mouth, you realize it's wrong, and you just make something up, and it's about a second later you realize you're going to burn in hell. Anyone else? Yeah. You're like, oops, I made that up. It's a lie. Well, I had that moment this week with my kids. This is a moment where I bent the truth a little bit because they were like, it's not such a good idea to go camping or go on bushwalks in grizzly bear country. So I told them, don't worry, bears don't eat kids. They only eat dads. Because kids are way too small and dads are bigger. but there's no way a bear will get me, so we're all safe, right? Well, then of course we started to talk about how to stop the bears from eating their dad. And they had a great plan. You see, we have bear spray. We bought some bear spray. Die, bear, die. And so I'm going to teach your kids how to use bear spray. You know, be like the police. You can't use it unless you've been sprayed with it. And no, we're not going to do that at all. But so they explained to me because, well, my kids are American, way more American than I'll ever be. And so they know way more about America than I do. So they proceeded to let me know that bear spray is good, but what you really need, Dad, is a 44 Magnum six shooter. Because my kids know more about guns in America than I do, right? So now the plan is, according to the kids, Judah and Eli will blind the bear with the bear spray. And while it's blinded, I will shoot it in the face. And I will not be killed by the bear. I will not become bear food. That's my kid's story, all right? Now, no bears were harmed in the making of this sermon, and this is all children's speculation. However, they did talk about, because I asked them, hey, kids, why do we need to blind the bear? And they're like, well, when the bear's blind, Dad can kill it. And I thought about that a little bit. Everything gets an easier shot at it when it can't see. And spiritually, it's the same for you and me. That if you can't see, the devil can take you out. If you've got spiritual blindness, the devil can take you out. Take out your family, take out your business, take out your life, take out your spouse, take you out. If we can't see, our church, our families, our souls are easier to be destroyed. So we need to talk about that today, don't we? Because we don't want to be living our lives with spiritual bear spray going on up in our heads, do we? Come on now. We want to talk about vision and making sure that we can all see. There's an old Aussie country song. I've sang it to you before. I'll sing you a piece again. Looking forward, looking back. That's all I've got for you. I sang it before. Get a podcast from 5.5 years ago. I think we deleted those because my sermons were so bad though. So we want to look forward, but I tell you what, we want to celebrate what God's done in the past and we want to look forward. Sound good? Ready to get rid of those blinders? Awesome. Let's look in some rear vision right now. Let's take a look backwards, see what God's done, what's happened over the last 12 months. Because our church, we operate on a fiscal year. That means that we do all of our planning financially, sermons, everything from July to June. So it's July right now for one more day. So we'll talk about it today. And we do all of our planning. Everything runs from the financial year or the fiscal year, as you might call it. So let's look back and see what's happened in the last 12 months right here at Eternity Church. Are you ready? Come on, are you ready? Yes, come on, let's look at it. So we added one service at the end of last year when people say don't do it, but we did it anyway. And it was great. It grew to about 150. It's down a little bit over summer, but we knew that would happen to a night service over summer. But the good news is the morning services have continued to grow. And so church is growing. It's been fantastic. At the end of summer, that service is going to kick off even better again. And we just can't wait to see what God's doing there. Adding services, been a good year. Amen. And we added another full-time staff member. Pastor Jed, I know they saw you, but could you stand up and show them who you are, how beautiful you are? Pastor Jed went on full-time as the associate pastor here at the start of this year, and that's been absolutely wonderful. He's done an amazing job in the worship team and with Connect groups and every other thing I land on his lap 5 minutes before I need it done. We were, yeah, it happens. You want to be on staff at church, better get used to that, amen? And we were one of Joppa's biggest, if not the giver, last year, and that's awesome. Joppa is a local ministry that helps and loves and supports homeless people here in Des Moines with homeless services, food, gas, heaters, all sorts of stuff like that. And we've been one of their biggest givers consistently. We were the number one biggest giver for IC Church Mumbai. So that's good. We helped plant a church from scratch in Mumbai. We gave almost $25,000 on top of and beyond all the Joppa stuff, beyond that, to local families in need of food, support, care, help in any area, locally here in Clive, Des Moines, and Central Iowa. So isn't that exciting? We've grown in attendance by over 200 people in 12 months. Yeah, that's pretty neat, isn't it? Pretty neat. We saw almost 200 people give their lives to Jesus Christ in the last 12 months. Yes! That there is my favorite thing that happens every Sunday here at Eternity Church. Three people already this morning. Come on, we're never going to stop. Someone say, never, never, never stop. There we go. We doubled the number of Connect groups running in and around the city, and we purchased in December this building. Who agrees God's moving here? Come on, God's moving here. Look east, look west, look north, look south. See how far you see, I'll give it to you. That's the word of the Lord, amen? That's the word of the Lord in our hearts, in our lives, and for our church. I believe it's also the word of the Lord for our families, amen? Look north, look south, look east, look west. What do you want? I'm a big God, amen? So, let's talk about what's happening right now. All right, this is a big time in the life of our church. So what's going on right now? Well, in Mumbai, they're still winning the lost. Come on. Every week, winning the lost. Why? You don't get money from Eternity Church if you ain't winning the lost. End of story. Amen. We have a rule with anything to do with missions giving in our church. If you're not involved in church planting and supporting a church, and if you're not winning the lost, no dosh, no coin. No mullah or any of the other words I can think of for our Australian for money, right? We are all about winning the lost, amen? And anything we're involved in is going to be winning the lost as well, amen? And so they've grown tremendously in size. In fact, they're coming to visit. The lead pastors are coming to visit us this winter, and that's going to be exciting. They're winning the lost in a city that's so consumed by Hinduism and class warfare and class culture that it is one of the toughest places for a Christian presence to grow. It's a tough job. If you think people go, wow, Pastor Jesse, you work hard. Yeah, I do. But I tell you what, they got to work harder in that culture to do even a tenth of what we're doing here. So God bless them, amen. They're doing a great job. We're blessed to be involved with them. They're preaching the truth about God's love, His favor, even in the middle of a poor city. It takes faith to preach about God's favor and blessing somewhere where people don't believe in it. Amen. And so praise God, they're doing a great job in one of the roughest cities around the world. And Joppa, such exciting things going on at Joppa. Do you remember earlier this year, start of the year, we had the tiny home. They came and showed us their tiny home that they're doing for the homeless ministries here in Des Moines. Well, they have land under contract for the tiny village. A tiny village for homeless people. They have land under contract. We are pumped to have been giving money to them. And we've not just been giving money. We've had people going and serving a couple of times a month and doing the trips out there, helping, loving on these people. Who knows that every person, homeless or not, deserves to look forward to your smile, right? Whether whether they're homeless or not, whether they waste money or steward it well, whether they're in sin or out of sin, God says they deserve the opportunity to see your smile, amen? And so we want to make sure that we're a church that values everyone. And can we whack up the tiny village up on the screen here? Isn't that cool? These tiny little homes, right, that are smaller than probably maybe half the size of your kid's bedroom, all right? Tiny little homes. And I want to tell you, some people might say things like, man, homeless people just waste the money you give them. Oh, so-and-so, that drunk, he'll just buy more booze with what you give him, right? Number one, well, this will go directly into ministering to their lives. Number two, what happens with the money after we've given it to people? We don't care. A giving and generous heart says, I release this, now you have the responsibility to do whatever you do with it. We're not going to judge somebody. We're not going to be people that says, well, the homeless person will just ruin that little tiny home anyway. We're the people that say, hey, some will ruin them, but God bless all of you. We want to bless your lives. Amen. We don't care what happens to it. We just care who's living in it. Amen. So praise God. Let's show them a couple of pictures of the tiny homes now. There it is. Cute little thing. I guess y'all would call that camping, wouldn't you? And so So they got their camper right there, and I go to the next one. Look at that, just a sweet little space, and they cost $6,500 each to build. They're up to 18. We've committed to giving them three. So that's $18,500 from our church over the next 6 to 12 months. We've got to give it to them because we've committed to them. You know how I am. Hey, we're going to do it. Boom, I said it. Now we all need to do it. Amen. I got big faith. You got big faith. And I love being in a church of big faith because I know that I can step out in faith. Amen. And see, this church doesn't succeed because Pastor Jesse's got big faith. It succeeds because I know I can step out in faith because our people have enough faith to back it up. Amen. So we got to get that done. That's going to be exciting. And then at church here, there's a lot of things going on here at church. A lot of things going on here at church. It's incredible. I want to share a couple of new programs that we're going to be starting this year. I hate the word program, but you know, for want of a better word, call it whatever word makes your heart feel good, okay? But here's a couple of things we're going to change. We're believing God for this year. Number one, I don't want 200 souls just saved. I want 300 saved and stay. Amen. Now, we have a lot of people get saved and stay, and that's great. But I don't know how many are going to get saved next year, but I want 300 people saved and discipled. 300 that stick around for this blessed life we call living with Jesus. Amen. So that's going to be great. I said 300. I'm waiting for someone to get more excited about it if you're wondering what I'm doing right now. 300. Come on now. I did say another 20 Connect groups, but then I realized that somebody in our church, one of the men in our church, has told Jed and I that he's going to start 10 new men's Connect groups this year on his own. I'm like, well, I better lift my number up a little bit. So me and Jed have now revised to how many, Pastor Jed? That's 5. Oh, okay, this is 0. Gotcha, gotcha. 50, all right? So we want to have 50 new Connect groups in Des Moines and Central Iowa over the next 12 months. You can help with that. You can help. Anyone can serve, but if you feel called to leadership, right, go to Next Steps and say, I want a Connect group in Winneset. I want a Connect group on the east side. I want another Connect group in Adel. I want a Connect group in the boondock somewhere. I want a Connect group at some campsites. I don't know what. I want a Connect group at work. You can start a Connect group. Amen. So help us with that. That'd be fantastic. We're also starting a new prayer ministry. I felt the Lord say to me, because we've always had a heart for prayer, but I felt the Lord show me that prayer, that I've always been wanting to start a prayer meeting, you know? Just have a prayer meeting where people come and pray. But I felt the Lord remind me that without a culture of prayer, a prayer meeting is nothing but a Pharisee in a street corner showing everyone, look what I have done. And I was like, God, I'm sorry we've done it that way. Help us develop a more prayerful spiritual culture in our church where then one day, whether it's in 6 months or 5 years, the prayer meeting is just a bonus, and the heart of prayer and the heart of desperation for God and the church is worked out in that. And then it's no longer a Pharisee on a street corner saying, look at me, but there's nothing behind me. It's the overflow of what God's doing in our church and in our life. Amen. And so we're going to start a few things. Yep, come on. So we're going to do a few things about the heart and culture of prayer in our church. There's many things, but one of those things in particular that I'm super excited about is the ability for people from anywhere in the community to get online and book an opportunity to get prayer here at church. They don't have to wait till Sunday to get prayer. They can just roll up whatever day of the week it is, get in there, and have somebody pray for them. That if they feel the need not just to pray for themselves or have their neighbor pray, but if they feel the need to come to the church and get prayer, they don't have to wait 6 days to have it happen. They can come today. Amen. That same room we're hoping to have filled with people praying for the service while we're having service. People praying that God would bless the people, souls would be saved, that it would be blessed financially, spiritually, emotionally, culturally, that everything would work great. And after church, if someone needs more prayer than at the altar, they can go in there and get more prayer too. We're excited about prayer. I'm really excited about this, and I technically shouldn't be announcing it, but we've been talking about it for 3 years, and I have done nothing about it. But we've really felt the Lord put this on our heart for a long time now. And we're going to do it. We're just going to do it. Within the next 12 months, we're going to do it. All right? Someone say, just do it. Yeah, come on, just do it, Jesse. We're going to do it, all right? And this is, we've had a big heart for people with special needs in our community, particularly the children. I got to tell you, God loves special needs people as much as he loves you, amen? And God loves you as much as he loves them, praise God. He's not a respecter of persons. We want people with special needs, and not just them, but their families too, amen? To know that, hey, you know what? God cares about your heart. And so do we, amen. Inside you is gold, and we want to help you find it in Jesus' name. And so we're going to start a special needs children's ministry in our evening service at some point over the next 12 months. We're super excited about that. I've talked to 3 people about it this week. We're all like, just do it, Jesse. And I'm like, let's just do it then. So we're going to do it, amen. And we're real excited about that. Inspired by another church as well that told us about this, I'm excited to one day do a special baptism service that's only for special needs people, maybe on a Wednesday night or something, and say, hey, if you're in the community, you want to get baptized, but it's a difficult thing to figure out, we will figure it out, amen? We will get it done, amen? So we're excited about that, really excited about that. And of course, here's the thing, you know why, number one, we need it in the evening service, and this might be a problem for a little while, but God will solve the problem soon, but in the evening service, we have one spare room in the building, and we can do it, so who knows, we need space here. We need space, we need more seats. Every year, we tend to, by Easter, so in Easter next year, we should be averaging approximately plus or minus 10% of what we had attend at Easter the year before. That's just the way it's gone for us every year. This year at Easter just gone, we had 1,000 people. Actually, it was 997 because 3 of you punks didn't come. If you were a regular attender of our church but did not come to Easter, lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. It is your fault. It was your fault. It was you 3, all right? If you guys behaved, Siri's talking to me. Shut up, Siri. There we go. If you guys were at church, it'd have been 1,000. And I'm just saying, I don't know if there's shame or guilt involved in that. I don't know if there should be or not. But you can work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, says the Lord. So the only way that we can fit in this building next Easter is if we don't grow. Or we do something else about it. We step out in faith and we say, give me my mountain. We're going to do something about this, amen? So we're going to do something about it. I don't even know if we'll fit in at Easter. Hopefully we can get something done about it by Easter. That would be fantastic. So I want to show you some plans for this space. Now, this is not God and this is not the church. This is the building that we use, amen? Now, we want everything in our lives to represent our heart of excellence and to represent our culture. And so we want the vessel to represent that. So I'm going to show you a couple of things right now. So let's pop that on. We'll dim the lights, and not on Sundays anyway, and not the rest of the days, okay? So we're going to knock those things off. We're going to make this place look and represent the culture of our church, amen? A welcoming and inviting culture, not a get out, we're going to kill you culture. And something a lot more vibrant and alive. And the reason we want to add that space out there is because we're going to add a 601-seat auditorium in this room. And we want to make sure that when it's full, that there is enough space out there, that our culture of community and love and care for each other, that there's enough space left to do it. Amen. So as more people come in here, we need more out there. We are not going to sacrifice that culture just for more people. We're going to grow with both. Amen. And so exciting things going on there. That also allows us to have a new connection lounge and things like that. But that bit is the last bit. That'll be either completed or starting in about 2 years because there's a lot of work with winters and stuff going on. But in the meantime, I'll show you what we're doing first. We're going to move bathrooms to the other side and create a bigger foyer immediately, a new check-in lounge, and redo the youth and students' wings, a brand new youth and student hall up there, brand new, right? So they can fit in there. That'd be awesome. And if I can show them the pictures of the auditorium, auditorium pictures. There we go. Look at that. So we're going to put a stage over there and then seating all the way, fixed seating. Sorry, if you like these, you know, things that move and stuff, they're going to go upstairs. You can sit on them in the youth hall. And so we're going to put fixed seating in, and there'll be a bit of a grandstandy thing up the back so that we can go all the way to the wall and use up every piece of space that we can. Sound good? So there you go. Roll through those really quick. Just keep going until you start looping, all right? And then we'll move on. Keep going. Just keep There we go. And so lots of exciting things. Green grass is pretty exciting, I gotta tell you. There we go. Representing Iowa, we got plaid shirts. There we go. Awesome. Is that exciting or what? So that whole thing, we get an extra room because we are going to make the youth and students share room on Wednesdays. It's youth, on Sundays it's kids, so they both get to use that brand new auditorium upstairs up there. It's going to be fantastic, okay? But I want to tell you, all this stuff that we're doing, right? When it comes to vision, motivation matters. When you're talking about vision, motivation matters. You got to believe it. Let's talk about the Tower of Babel. Chapter 11 of Genesis says, "Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, 'Come, let's make bricks and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar." Now we need to pause and deal with something right now. That word bitumen, that's what you call blacktop, right? Blacktop, asphalt. Now, in Australia, we call it bitumen all the time. And I've been saying to you all for like 5 years now, we're on the bitumen road, and y'all think I'm cussing someone out. It's in the Bible. You heard that, right? It's in the Bible. Now, admittedly, it was used for a very unholy purpose, but it's in the Bible nonetheless, all right? So they had bitumen, blacktop, asphalt, for mortar. Huh? It's asphalt, thank you very much. All right? Hey, it's the Queen's English, and I'm one of her subjects, so y'all will just listen, all right? Bitumen, asphalt, for mortar. And then they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves." You hear that? "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and make us a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed. Let us make a name for ourselves." And back then, the heavens, they did mean it. They wanted to get up into the heavens. "Let us make a name for ourselves. Let us create our own path to salvation. Let us, it's all about us." Church, motivation matters. If we were doing this just to be us, just so people look at Pastor Jesse and go, "Wow, he built a great church," or just so that you can drive to your friend's house and go, "Look at our multi-million dollar church," then we would be doing it for ourselves. And you better believe that God will do to us what he did to Babel. Come down and scatter it out. We don't want that to happen. We want to do something to make the name of the King famous. Amen. Make the name of God famous. We don't need to be famous. We don't want to be God. We want to make him famous. We want people to drive past and say, "Have you heard the things that God's doing there? Look at God's house. Have you heard what he's doing there?" Souls get saved every week. And then people from other churches are inspired and say, "We need to win the lost." Amen. We don't want them to walk away and give up on their mission, but be inspired. Win the lost. Ask the Lord to do what he does. Amen. People will talk about how God is the answer. And so their life is in chaos and they drive past or they see a sign or they watch something on TV or an ad or Facebook and they go, "I've heard that when God's the answer, your life is transformed." Jesus makes all things new. Look at that church. It was a tiny church meeting at Jordan Creek Town Hall and then God touched it. Now look at what's going on there, because God touched it. Look at that building. It used to look like a building of death and Roman Colosseum and gladiators. But now it looks inviting and welcoming. I actually want to go there. Someone believe me. I'm the guy who goes, "I can't believe we grew with those columns out there." Everyone else is like, "Jesse, it's really not a big deal." I'm like, "I'll tell you what's a big deal. That is a big deal, all right?" We don't need to make a name for ourselves. We don't need to show people what we can do. We can show them how great God is and what he can do. Amen. Come on, how great he is and what he can do. We don't need to make a name for ourselves. His name is strong and powerful. Amen. Let us be the people that call upon the name of the Lord and say, wow, thank you, God. Look what you've done in my life. I want to tell you, the story of my whole life is riding on someone else's coattails. People always say that. Have you heard that before? They'll be like, man, you don't want to ride on someone's coattails. That guy only got there by riding on his coattails. Have you heard that? Hitching, oh, you got to hitch your life to the right wagon. You've heard that before? Hitch your wagon to the right person. They're going up. Just grab onto them on the way up, right? But I want to tell you, that is the story of my life. Every success I've ever had is because I was riding on the Lord's coattails. Amen. Riding on God's coattails. I don't need to have a name for myself. I just need to cling on to those coattails. The same coattails that the woman with the issue of blood touched. She just touched it and she was healed. Healed in a way that God himself stopped and took notice. I don't just want to touch. I want to hold on to those coattails and cruise through life on the back of them. Amen. I don't need a name for myself. I need to hold on to his name in Jesus' name. I want to make it known that those who call upon the name of the Lord are saved, are strong, are highly favored and blessed in Jesus' name. And that's why I'm just going to throw this in there. That's why you should give to Kingdom Expansion. You should, right? Here, there, and everywhere. That's what we call kingdom expansion. That's going over and above our tithes and offerings to see the kingdom of God's just glorious influence here, there, and everywhere. Right here is Des Moines and the church, and making sure that the vessel here is appropriate, can fit all the people and minister to all the people in this whole surrounding area. There is homeless ministry and school ministry in the community around us. By the way, I didn't say it before, I need to add it. Our church did spend $15,000 giving a local school, Indian Hills, 2 brand new scoreboards with eternity written on them. We're going to get you a video, a thank you from the principal or something like that soon. Me and Pastor Nath are working on that. And lots of great things going on here, amen? And so we got to keep giving to that and over and above our tithes, because we're making the name of the Lord famous, amen? You need that kind of vision in your life, in your church, but you need it in your life. You need that kind of vision in your faith, in your attitude, in your life, in your family, in your relationships. That kind of never stop believing for more, I can see what God is doing kind of vision, amen? You need vision if you want a strong family. It's one thing to come here and see God doing great things at church, but I want to tell you, great things at church happen at great things in your life. The great things happening here are an overflow of what God's doing in your life. Amen. That's why we teach so much about the blessing and the favor and the forgiveness and the finality of God in your life. Amen. So you need this vision in your life. If you want a strong family, then your family needs vision. Don't be like the grizzly bear. If you've got blinders on, the enemy will take you out. I don't want your family to be blind and have the enemy take it out. I don't want your marriage, if you're married, getting married, being married, I don't want any of your relationships to have spiritual blinders on, easily taken out. You need vision. You need to open your eyes to the possibility of a blessed life, amen? You won't accidentally have a family that serves God. It doesn't happen accidentally, church. With the bam. Thanks, mate. It doesn't happen accidentally. I'm already talking to my boys, the older two, the ones that can communicate. Charlie communicates with his forehead. But I'm already talking to them about, you know, one day visiting their church, wherever they're ministering at or serving God at. I can't wait when I'm 20 to come see your church, son, you know. I can't wait to come see what God's doing in your life. I can't wait to go on family vacations with your family too, son, you know. We're talking about it. We got vision. We can imagine what God is going to do. And then we know that, according to Scripture, that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or imagine. But the implication is I'm dreaming it. I'm visioning it. I'm imagining it right now, amen. I need vision for my family to survive. You need vision for your family to survive. When I meet with young couples or soon-to-be married couples, all I talk about for a long time is vision and unity. Attend church together. Pray, serve, give, invite people to your church, eat with people from your church. These things create a united vision in your marriage, and God commands a blessing on unity every time. So if there's no unity in your marriage, let's start with this. Serve God together and go to church together. Okay? Then we'll add give to church. Amen? Then we just brought unity into our finances. Then we'll add eat with people from our church. Then we brought unity into our friendships. Amen? Then we add serve. Then we add pray, and we're bringing unity into our relationship, and God will bless it. Psalm 133. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Fast forward a couple of lines down. For there the Lord has commanded a blessing for life forevermore. God commands a blessing when there's unity. Can someone say amen? Don't let a lack of unity dry up the passion in your marriage, in your family, or in even any of your friendships. You need faith in your vision. A good dose of faith and trust in God, and He'll make it happen. We just got to trust Him with it, and then He'll get busy doing it. Amen? If you don't have vision, your life is open to distraction and grief. You need vision in your finances. If you don't have vision in your finances, you'll just spend stuff on everything. Finances have no purpose. Life has no purpose without vision. You need vision. What do our finances mean, and where are they going, and where do we want them to be in 10 years? Vision in your health. If you don't have vision in your health, you'll just eat whatever you see. Be like me, 6 Cokes a day. I got down from 7 from last week. I'm winning. Someone say, winner. If you're new here, I've had a bad year with soda. Didn't drink it last, and now I do. Vision in your faith, church attendance, giving, praying, reading the word, worship. Be active in pursuing the vision in your life. You need to have a vision, and don't stop there. Don't stop short. Would you stand up with me, church? I want to tell you our story as we begin to close. George Mallory was a famous mountaineer. He may have been the first person to reach the summit of Mount Everest. In the early 1920s, he led a couple of attempts to summit the mountain, and eventually, he was killed on the third attempt in 1924. Before that last and final and fateful attempt, he did say, "I cannot see myself coming down defeated." He was an extraordinary climber, and nothing would force him to give up. His body was found in 1999, some 70-odd years later. Frozen in perfect condition, well preserved by the snow and the ice. At 27,000 feet up the mountain, just 2,000 feet short of the peak, he did not give up. His body was found face down on a rocky slope, head towards the summit, arms reached out over his head, and toes pointed into the mountain. His fingers dug into the loose rock, refusing to let go as he drew his last breath. Some say that he was on his way down, and he'd reached the top. Some say he just wouldn't give up and he kept going. Those who set up camp for him further down the mountain returned to England for a banquet. And they had a huge picture of Mount Everest behind the banquet table. And the leader of the group stood up to applause and with tears streaming down his face, turned to the picture and said, "I speak to you, Mount Everest, in the name of all the brave men living and those yet unborn." He said, "Mount Everest, you defeated us once, you defeated us twice, you defeated us 3 times, but Mount Everest, we shall someday defeat you because you can't get any bigger, but we can. But we can." Amen. I don't know where you find yourself today, having no vision and needing God to come and remove pessimistic scales from your eyes. Or perhaps you're where these men were and God's given you a vision, but you feel defeated, defeated, defeated. But you look at that thing and you say, "Mountain, you may have defeated me once, you may have scared me twice. You won't get any bigger, but in the name of Jesus Christ, I can." Amen. I can. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, mountain." Isaiah 40:31, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." I'm going to be like Joshua. I'm going to say, "I see that mountain. Give it to me. Give it to me, God. Give it to me. Amen. Wherever you find yourself today, the Lord wants to work in your heart. Give you a vision or renew your strength. Either way, we're leaving with vision in Jesus' name. And hope too. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.